Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jacob Stitch Duran here, and if you guys really want to listen to some good talk, listen to The Roman Show.
For Florida MMA news and events, there's only one place to get your info from, MMAtothemax.net. From where to see the big fight to where is the next major event can all be found on the Sunshine State's number one source for MMA and grappling events, MMAtothemax.net. Don't click anywhere else and pump up the volume. You're listening to The Roman Show.
Visit El Octagono for all the latest in MMA, news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octagono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctagono.com.
AllOutMMAGear.com is your best source for MMA gear and apparel. Use code RomanShow and receive 15% off your next purchase. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AllOutMMAGear and on Facebook.com/AllOutMMA for the latest on merchandise and special offers. AllOutMMAGear.com, from Miami to the world.
You are about to listen to The Roman Show.
The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let The Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let The Roman Show begin.
Welcome to The Roman Show this evening on May 9th, celebrating the Miami Heat's victory, Randall. We're celebrating down here in Miami.
yeah, we're finally going to the second round already and getting ready for the Indiana Pacers.
Yes, sir. We will be facing off the Pacers this Sunday at 3:30, from what I understand. It will be a Mother's Day, so I'm ready to go and grab my pots and pans and go celebrate in front of La Carreta. And drink some coffee. So that's just me. But we'll leave the basketball talk for the weekend. And let's let Dwayne Wade and LeBron take a little rest so they can kick some butt on Sunday against the Pacers. Yep. And let's dedicate our time tonight to some mixed martial arts. Guillermo is not available with us today. He's enjoying his time in Hawaii right now, that lucky bastard. He's in Waikiki learning how to surf.
Nice.
Come on, man. Look at us. We're working.
Hey, man. He's got to get some time off.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's MMA talk, a lot of MMA stuff happening. You know, Randall, I want to start off with this real quickly, and this just broke into MMA Junkie.
Mm-hmm.
I need to read this. It's just about an hour and a half ago. We had last week Dan Severin on the program.
Yeah.
And we spoke about him going to England at a big convention, a big expo.
Yeah.
It turns out that the event was canceled. So with that being said, there are representatives hinting that a legal action will follow the sudden cancellation of MMA Show Live. Again, this is according to MMAJunkie.com. It said, it reads that representatives for several fighters scheduled to appear this weekend at the British MMA Expo, said organizers cut and ran when the event suddenly was canceled over the weekend. The reps now say a lawsuit is likely to recover money promised to participants. And it was a long list of names that were going to take part of this event, including Kenny Florian, Thiago Silva, Randy Couture, Dan Henderson, Dan Severin. And it said it was actually a total of 54 MMA personalities. And on Monday, the Expo's website was replaced with a press release that read, the show was postponed to October 20 to 21 due to, quote, circumstances beyond our control. There was, says here, refund seekers were directed to a ticket company in charge of sales for the event. A second expo, the Martial Arts Show Live, is proceeding at the same time and location as MMA Show Live. So quite a big deal out there in England, as some of the fans in England were awaiting this big expo. And here we are at a point where apparently they might face some legal issues with this event. And this is just coming in right now as we speak here. More to this, of course. Heck, if you're listening in England, call in. I'd love to hear from you. Apparently it says, someone wrote here that Randy is seeking losses for high five figures. He was going to get about $70,000 to sign autographs at the MMA show and also to sign his books at other events. Now, this is someone that posted this stuff on the website. Can't really give this guy too much credit, but this is what the guy's saying. It seems like a lot of money was lost in this event.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, you never know. I mean, if people were actually flying out from other areas in Europe and, you know, people had a go ahead and book hotels. If they, you know, people who spent money that were going to go see these fighters that are fans, and you never know how much money they lost in the process.
Yeah, a lot of money out there. We'd love to hear, hopefully maybe in the next show or two, we'll get someone to speak about this, because we'd love to get informed on exactly what happened and love to hear the fans' reaction. Follow us on Twitter, guys, at RomanDH, hashtag RomanShow. Or call in today, 714-868-0222. Tonight on the show, Randall, we're going to have a local fighter, but now she is huge. She is big time. We're talking about Jessica Jag Aguilar. Very nice young lady. She will be fighting next Friday in Bellator against Megumi Fuji. And that is for the number one against number two in the straw division, the women's division.
Yeah.
And that's going to be an exciting fight because, you know, Jess, we love her very much. She's just awesome, very nice, cool-hearted. And Megumi Fuji is a person that has 19 submissions in her career. That's just incredible. At one point, she only has one loss. And Jessica Aguilar
That's actually kind of a controversial loss, because a lot of people thought she probably won the fight against Zoila Frausto.
Yes, it was. And one thing that had happened there that really caught my attention was she started taking down Zoila towards the middle of the fight.
Yeah.
Her strong portion of it is taking her opponent down. So that's one thing. So we're going to talk with Jessica about her opponent. And also, we're going to have, in just a few minutes after Jessica, we're going to have Kevin Asplund, a heavyweight fighter, who will be fighting on the same card on Bellator against Ron Sparks. Kevin is a fighter with a 15-1 record, has a great, great, great record, and is facing Kevin, who has fought in Bellator for a couple of times, 34 times. He's actually undefeated in Bellator. So it's going to be a tough fight there for Kevin, getting an opportunity to fight there. So let's see what he has to say about competing against Ron next Friday night. Now, I want to read this. I got this tweet here from Amy. Oh, okay. She said that the statements are on her website, amyactually.com, in full, if you're interested. Okay, Amy, we'll take a look at that, and we'll go ahead and follow up later on. with that. This is regards to the MMA show live that was canceled. So we'll take a look at that. And Amy, if you want to feel free to call in 714-868-0222, and you can just let us know yourself and read it out here personally. And then we'll talk a little bit about what happened this weekend on Saturday night. It's a weekend full of fights, Randall, with the UFC and Fox, followed by Mayweather and Cotto.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, definitely enjoyed the UFC on Fox. It was a great, great card. Surprise ending to the main event. You know, I mean, it, not so much a surprise, but it did catch me a little bit off guard just because, you know, I expected it to be more insane on the ground, and Nate Diaz just dominated Jim Miller on the ground, and once he grabbed that guillotine, it was just over. It was simply just over.
Yeah, great work there by Diaz, and in fact, it earned him a title shot, so that's how much Dana White was impressed. So I'm excited about that stuff. Oh, another thing I want to post here, that Dana White just posted on Twitter that Henderson and John Jones will meet in September. That is what he just posted on Twitter, Dana White. So we're letting everyone know that it will happen. I know there was at the beginning there was some talks that it was and it wasn't going to happen. That John Jones wanted a little break, but it's going to happen in September. John Jones versus Dan Henderson. You know, does Dan Henderson have an opportunity? All I see him is trying to take down his opponent, Randall.
Yeah. I mean, Henderson, what he has is a puncher's chance, which is pretty much what everybody kind of has against John Jones these days. It's a puncher's chance, and it's really just that H-bomb, man. If he's able to connect that H-bomb, you know, it's going to be lights out, and, you know, we might be able to see a new champion. But it's that distance that distance that Jones has is incredible, and I don't know if Henderson is going to be capable of surpassing the length of John Jones.
Yes, no doubt about that. But, you know, the only thing that Dan really has on his side is that phenomenal wrestling that he has. Just try to take Jones, because we haven't really seen Jones on the ground. So it's about time someone...
Oh, and that's really more because nobody's been able to take him down. I mean, Rashad Evans tried it. Rashad Evans is a high-caliber wrestler, and he was not able to do it.
Yep, you're right. And it's just the fact that John Jones is just a lanky guy. You know, he's tall, his reach advantage, he has long legs. So the date is, according to the tweet by Dana White, September 1st is the fight, Dan Henderson versus John Jones, September 1st in Las Vegas. That is what he just mentioned on Twitter. Now let's get a hold of Jessica Aguilar, again, who will be fighting next Friday on MTV on the Bellator card, which is taking place in Louisiana.
Yep.
Jessica Jag Aguilar. It's a funny story about Jess, you know. She told me earlier that her mom never saw her fight. I wonder if that kind of changed nowadays since she is in the national spotlight.
Yeah. It might have.
Hello, you reached Jessica Aguilar. I am currently unavailable. If you would please leave your name.
We'll try to reach her in just a few minutes,
Jessica
Aguilar. But yeah, you know, that's something funny. I remember interviewing her a while back, and she had stated that her mom didn't really support her in the fighting game, and so she kept it kind of hidden. But I'm sure when she got into the Bellators, she must have found out. I mean, it's everywhere, you know?
Well, I mean, she had her debut in 2006, and that was in an absolute fighting championship, and she fought Lisa Ellis, and that was her first loss right off the bat, and a lot of people experienced that in their first fight. But, I mean, since 2006 to 2012, I'm sure, you know, in 6 years, her mom must have found out.
I'm pretty sure, man, you know?
Yeah.
Because she's been doing it for quite some time, and it's only a matter of time. And not only is she doing the MMA, she's doing the grappling. She's grappled pretty much all over the world. I think last night she was, like, somewhere in Europe or in Russia or something like that. She was telling me the other day. She's been around, and plus she's all over the Internet. You know, she's all over the Internet. She has appeared on Univision, Spanish television network.
Representando las Mexicanas.
Yeah, representing las Mexicanas. So, come on. Mom had to figure it out one way or another.
Let's try
with Jessica Aguilar as we're trying to reach her. With the likes of the Mike Brown, the Hector Lombard, all those guys, American Top Team, Coconut Creek.
Yep.
Again, we're trying to get. Maybe she's a bit tied up. If not, then try to have her for the next show, and we'll get hold of.
Hello, you reached Jessica Aguilar. I am currently unavailable. If you would please leave your name, number, or a brief message, I will return your call as soon as possible. Thank you, and have a great day.
Yeah, so she's probably quite busy. We'll try reaching out a little bit later. If not, then we'll have her on the show next week. Randall, so we were talking about the UFC on Fox. One fight that really brought my attention was Alan Belcher versus Pujares. What a fight!
Yeah, man, that was definitely a great matchup. I wanted to see what would happen if Pujares took Alan Belcher to the ground. And Belcher surprised, I think he surprised the world, being able to defend the ankle lock so well. And not only that, but transition to almost committing to a twister, kind of like what Chang Sung Jung did to Leonard Garcia, and almost broke the man in half. And it was just a great match, great transitions. It was an incredible ground match, exciting the whole time. But he walked out with the victory over Pujares in the first round, which was incredible.
What an amazing fight, man. You know, and even Joe Rogan, did you hear him get all excited? Like, wow! You know, he got all into it.
Anything that's Brazilian jiu-jitsu will get Joe Rogan off. That simple as that. Anything that's jiu-jitsu will get him off.
He was jumping around like he just came to Disney World, and the guy was excited. You know, he's like, wow, I can't believe he's doing this. But,
Yep.
We've had Belcher here on the program, and it's true. You know, many people underestimate him. He's a great fighter. And he's just – he says he wants now Michael Bisping. That's the guy he wants next. And then maybe after that, possibly it could be a title shot, Randall.
I mean, he can get real close to it. I mean, if he defeats a Michael Bisping, then the next steps would be, you know, whoever else is in the top five. You know, you can put a lot of names in that area. I mean, you have, well, now your number one contender, Chael Sonnen, and you have your Anderson Silvas. You have, I'm trying to think of all the names. There's so many people up in that class. I mean, you have Brian Stan. You have Hector Lombard now. I mean, there's so many people in that division that definitely can be competition.
Oh, man, you mentioned Lombard. Did you see that picture he just posted on Twitter? He's a happy guy wearing the UFC logo. He's ready to go, and he's going to be headlining at UFC and Fox against Brian Stan. Hector Lombard is going to be a guy that's definitely going to make some waves, I can predict, in the UFC. And especially for you guys who have not seen the Bellator fighting championship, but Lombard just pretty much annihilated anyone that they put in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't by knockout in the first round, I mean, I think the only one that was not a knockout was the Alexander Shlemenko fight, and he was fighting the flu that day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he wasn't even up to his best, but other than that, I mean, he's knocked out practically everybody within the first two rounds, if not. I think the only fight that went the distance was further than the distance was against Falinko Vitali in Bellator 44, and that was in 2011, and that went to the third round. But he knocked him out in the third round. Other than that, everything else is either first round or second round.
That's it. That's all we've seen of Lombard, and the guy is really a knockout artist. He's just big. He's just so stocky, very strong guy. So to see
and he hasn't lost since 2006. He has not lost a match.
Yeah, he has over 20 something wins in a row. He has a huge streak in MMA right now. Currently, Hector Lombard. So when you guys see this guy, the guy is just amazing, and he's very humble and very nice. We've had him here on the show several times, and you've spoken to him at El Octagono several times as well. And the guy is just ready for it, man. It was just a matter of time till we got Hector Lombard in the UFC. And We had him here on the show about 2-3 weeks ago, and we asked him that, you know, he has two fights that he lost, which one was Akira Ogono, and the other was Gegard Mousasi. And he stated that Gono doesn't want to go to his weight class anymore. So the only other person he would fight would be Gegard Mousasi.
Yeah, and aside from the fact with Gono, Gono already retired after his loss to Chandler.
Chandler, right. So he can never erase that loss or make up for it, so he's going to have to stick with Gegard Mousasi, who fought in Strikeforce, so maybe we can see that. That'd actually be a good one. But Hector Lombard, I would say, after he gets rid of, if he defeats Brian Stann, one more fight, and this guy could possibly get a title shot.
Well, actually, Dana already kind of made that statement saying the winner from the Brian Stann versus Hector Lombard is possibly going to be the next for a title shot. So he might just get that Brock Lesnar treatment with one victory, get that title shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't really compare to Brock Lesnar because, I mean, a guy has a 20-something wins in a row. Brock
No, I don't mean in comparison. I just mean the treatment of him coming in, getting the victory, and then getting the title shot.
I got you. I mean, a lot of people will probably get pretty mad over here in the MMA world when they say Brock Lesnar. I never really understood it, but heck, you know, not everyone is too happy about Brock Lesnar coming in. You got to give the man credit where credit is due, though. He came in.
I mean, he stood in there. He did something that was more physical than the pro wrestling, and he tried it out. And unfortunately for him, due to some, you know, diseases, the diverticulitis that he's had and all the surgeries he's had to go through and everything that's affecting him, he's not going to be able to continue that career. Surely enough, if he wouldn't have had that issue, he'd still be fighting.
No doubt about that. And he did be a Hall of Famer, Randy Couture. You know, he gave him a run for his money. So the guy, and he did defeat Frank Mir, who ironically is now going to be fighting again for the heavyweight belt against Junior Dos Santos. So it's not like if he fought type of guys that weren't at a high caliber, because they were. But then he got into the Cain Velasquez and even Shane Carwin. We can't forget Shane Carwin, another guy who we haven't heard from in a while, because I know he had that back surgery, so hopefully we'll see him in action. So he has a lot of credibility. We got to give credit where credit is due. Although many people still criticize. And let's try it one more time, Jessica Aguilar. We'll just have her again on the next show. Maybe she got a little tied up. And they don't
really have. She also runs a business, so.
Yeah, you're right. But she is a little occupied there. All right, one more time. Very busy lady there. Trying to get her in. Or I guess she fights up next week. If not, again, we'll try to have her.
Hello,
next.
You reached Jessica Aguilar. I am currently unavailable.
All right.
If you would please leave your name, number.
We'll have her here on the program next week, as we don't want to bug her. And we're going to have just a few minutes, Kevin Asplund here. Randall, we're going to go for a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back. More stuff here on the Roman Show. Lots to talk about in the world of MMA. We've got the Benson Henderson versus Frank Yeager. That was okay. We got the Uriah Faber versus Dominic Cruz. That's no longer going to happen. Cruz tore his ACL.
Yep.
Uriah Faber will now be fighting for an interim belt, the bantamweight. Cruz, allegedly, from what I've read, Ronda Rousey was the one that being pointed the finger at for the incident with Cruz.
Wow.
That's
she's dangerous.
She's
dangerous.
Have you seen her in action? Have you seen that video on YouTube where she grabs all these guys and just throws them on the ground?
Yeah, man. She's incredible, man. She's an incredible athlete. I would love to see her versus Chris Cyborg. I would love to see that fight.
We'll have to wait a year for that. If they even give her the title, of course.
I'm sure they will eventually.
And that'd be a nice fight. All right, we'll be right back. We'll go to a quick commercial break. We'll be right back here on The Roman Show.
Listening to The Roman Show.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH.
check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit facebook.com/The Roman Show. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, facebook.com/The Roman Show. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to romandh@yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, romandh@yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at romandh@yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolfoRoman.com. That's RodolfoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolfoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of The Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. Want to win some money while you watch the big fight this weekend? Head on over to countermove.com. That's countermove.com with a K.
You're listening to The Roman Show, the hottest radio sports program on the net. Call in live at 714-868-0222 or tweet us live at RomanDH. It's The Roman Show.
This is Bjorn from Bellator Fighting Championships. Keep following Rodolfo Roman.
All right, we are back with more action here in The Roman Show. In just a few seconds, we're going to get a hold of Kevin Nasquin, who will be fighting next Friday on the Bellator card, which is a very stacked one, to be exact. And he will be fighting Ron Sparks next Friday. That show will air on MTV2 for Bellator Fighting Championship. But this week, we got an odd day for fights, but UFC on Fuel TV 3 will air, Randall, on May 15th. I don't seem to like the dates. You know, sometimes they make the fights on weird days, and you know, the Tuesdays, and sometimes they have them on Wednesdays, sometimes they have them on Wednesday on Sundays. But you know, Tuesday, that next day you gotta go to work. But I'll take it, right? It's a fight.
Hey, man, you can never go wrong with free fights. I think it has more to do with they're still trying to get accustomed to the Fox network scheduling and trying to send themselves out, you know. And so I guess everything is panned out perfectly. We're going to have these odd days and odd matches on different days.
Well, I mean, they had the same thing when they were on the other network, which was, you know, by Viacom. It was the Versus channel. They had the same thing they would have in, like, WEC and UFC shows, like, on a Tuesday or a Monday. I remember that, a Monday. Not that very common, but it happened.
Yeah.
So we have a nice little lineup next week on the 15th. We have the UFC on Fuel, and then we have the MTV2, where Bellator, and that's with Jessica Aguilar and Megumi Fuji, and Falcao versus Spang. Coming up, so that's good stuff. And also with Kevin Asplund versus Ron Sparks, a heavyweight battle going at it. And here we are, we're going to get a hold of Kevin right now, Randall.
Okay.
I'm going to speak about his up next Friday night. And you can see that stuff on
Hello.
Hey, Kevin, how are you? Welcome to the Roman Show.
Hey, what's up, man?
All right, my man. Welcome. You're on with myself, Roman, and Randall Villafana here in the program. Kevin, it's an honor to have you here, and I'm sure you're getting ready and getting psyched up for next Friday, my man. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. Just got home from the gym, man. Training like this is the fight of my life, you know?
Nice. You're fighting Ron Sparks. This is your first shot at Bellator. How did it come about, Kevin, getting into Bellator?
I believe one of their people contacted me and asked me if I was under any exclusive contract with a fight promoter, and I told them no. And they asked for my manager's info, and pretty much the rest is history. They sent me a contract, and they're giving me a shot, and I plan on not letting them down.
That's absolutely great, and congratulations on that shot, Kevin. Now, you have a great record here, 15-1. For you, when you got that phone call, what was the first thing that went through your head?
Well, I mean, I was like, holy beep. I'm getting my shot, you know. I've been waiting for a long time. You know, I'm not no spring chicken anymore, but I'm definitely in the best shape of my life. I've been training for quite a few years now. I was always hoping to get a shot, you know, at one of these bigger promotions. And I'm very satisfied with getting the call from Bellator. I'm happy to get a chance there. You know, they're one of the biggest promotions out there.
Well, your first fight is a tough one. You got Ron Sparks. He has a nice record himself with 8-1. And the guy has won 4 of his appearances in Bellator. In fact, he has won 3 of them by knockout and 1 by submission. So the guy is a strong guy here. How are you preparing against Ron?
I'm just focusing. I know he's a big guy. I've fought a couple big guys. There's no doubt about it. It'll probably be my toughest challenge to date, but I'm definitely up for it, man. I've been training my butt off, and I got a lot of good people I'm working with. I'm just working on my power, and I'm known for having an excellent chin. I know he's going to try to test it, but I plan on moving forward on him. So it's going to be an interesting fight. You know, I'm definitely a little smaller, but fucking dynamite comes in small packages, I'll tell you that.
Now, when you say small, because you're heavy, both of you guys are heavy. How much are you weighing now? How much are you going to walk in at?
I'll be right at about 250, maybe 255, hopefully.
You call that small, Kev? Hey, you're a big guy.
Well, I know that guy's walking around at probably 290 a couple months ago.
Wow.
So he's been cutting weight solid. He'll probably be, I'd say, 270 plus come to fight day. But
wow. You know, I have a question for you, Kev. And I've noticed this, and obviously it's not going to happen like in a place like a Bellator or UFC. But in local promotions, I've seen when it comes to heavyweights, you have a guy that usually walks around at about 300, 290 pounds. He'll cut down to 275 or 265. But the other guy will walk in at 280. Now, to some, the lighter guy you would think has the advantage. But do you find that disrespectful if your opponent does not make that weight, even though you guys, there is no such thing as a super heavyweight division? But do you find that disrespectful?
Well, you know, slightly, for sure. I mean, I know that just came about here not too long ago. With a couple guys, but that really sucks. The guy's training his butt off to get in there and do battle, and then all of a sudden the fight doesn't even happen. So, I mean, I find it a little disrespectful, but I'm hoping Ron makes weight and we can get it on here March or May 18th. I'll be on weight. I don't have to cut or nothing. Actually, I'm putting on weight.
All right, Ron, do you have a couple of questions for Kev?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to ask Ron, his last fight in Bellator was actually against Eric Prindle for the semifinals of the heavyweight tournament. How much more motivation would it be for you being able to defeat the guy that was just that close to being in the finals for a championship opportunity?
Oh, man, it means the world to me. It's motivation like you wouldn't believe. I've been training harder than I've ever trained in my life. I know anything's possible. I'm not going to say I'm going to walk in there and walk right through this guy, but I'll tell you what, I have a fighter's chance, and my heart's a gold. My heart's carried me through a lot of stuff. So I plan on doing really well and getting my hand raised at the end of the night. So, I mean, it means the world to me.
And also, looking at your record, I mean, you're a very versatile guy. You have various weapons. I mean, you've ended fights by submissions. You've ended by technical knockouts, by knockouts, and, of course, your share of decisions. What, for you, do you see as your main weapon? Like, what is your primary weapon, your go-to area? Do you like to go into the ground more, or do you like to stand and bang?
Well, there's no doubt about it. I'm a stand and bang type of guy. I mean, I'm well rounded. Don't get me wrong, but I would much rather stand and trade, and I feel like I have the power to knock anybody out. So, I mean, if I put one on anybody's chin solid, it's the odds of them going to sleep are pretty great. That's my nickname's Concrete. It ain't just because I pour concrete. I got concrete in my hands and my blood. So.
Now,
nice.
Go ahead, Randall.
No, and my last question was going to be this. One of your opponents that you've actually fought twice is Reese Hernandez, and both ended with the same result, both you getting a split decision win. So far in your career, has that been your toughest opponent?
Yeah, I mean, that kid is full of heart. It was almost like a mirror match. I mean, we both had rock solid chins. We tested each other. It was a back and forth brawl. I mean, honestly, he could have won the first split decision. The second one was a little closer my way. It was frustrating. I mean, the kid has a chin like you wouldn't believe. I hit him with everything but the kitchen sink, and he kept coming, and as did I. I mean, he hit me with some heavy shots, and it was a battle. I couldn't believe it. It went all. First one was a 3-round battle, and then the second one was for my title that I held locally. So that was a 5 5-minute rounder, and kind of proved to myself I could fight 25 minutes, which was cool. But yeah, it was unbelievable experience. I mean, that my hat goes off to that kid. He's considerably younger, and he's full of heart. I expect to see him somewhere big here pretty soon.
And Kevin, what can you tell us about the heavyweights in general? Because it seems when you go to local promotions or heck, even UFC and Bellator, there's so many heavyweights, just like when you get into the lighter divisions. What have you seen fighting in your fighting career as far as the competition in heavyweight? Do you see a lot of heavyweights coming up with a lot of more skilled, more rounded, instead of your typical stand and bang type of guy?
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I think, like, the lower you go in weight, slightly the more dangerous is. I mean, I don't know. Just in my eyes, my trainers and stuff have talked to me about dropping to 205 because I could probably easily do it, but I feel I have the speed advantage over most of these heavyweights, and I'm not scared of anybody's power. So I don't know really how to answer your question. I think the bigger guys aren't always as entertaining as the smaller guys. I can admit that, but sometimes, I mean, like Junior Dos Santos and some of those guys, they're very entertaining. I look up to some of those guys, and I'm a pretty exciting fighter myself. Look for some fireworks here come May 18th.
Yeah, just absolutely, Kevin. Now, Kevin, you say they call you Concrete. Why? How did that come about?
That's a pretty funny story. I mean, we went signed up to fight. I think it was one of my first fights after coming back. I used to fight back in 2002, and then I quit for a few years and took care of business, and then I started training and started fighting again. Well, they asked me what my nickname was, and we were sitting at a table, and I was trying to think of stuff. I mean, we were like, the Assassin Aslan, no. And I owe the credit to my wife. She's like, how about Concrete? And I'm like, damn, that's bingo right there. I like the way it sounded, and it just fits. I mean, I pour concrete. I do all kinds of side jobs. I currently work for a concrete company, but I do all kinds of concrete on the side. So, yeah, it stuck really well. I think it's perfectly fitting. My hands got concrete in them, and that's how that came about.
And, Kev, where do you currently train right now?
I'm at a gym. I just made the transition from Ambition MMA here, and now I went to Focus MMA. They had some bigger guys to train with, and I kind of fit a little better there. So I'm at a place called Focus MMA. A lot of really big guys and good trainers also.
Absolutely. Randall, you have a question for Kev?
Well, going back to the heavyweights, and I mean, we've seen a lot of advancement in when it comes down to the technical fight of a heavyweight. I mean, usually, like my partner Rodolfo here said, a lot of the times we see the heavyweight stand and bang. How far along are you when it comes down to your ground game and taking it to the ground, like in your jiu-jitsu? I mean, do you have a belt class yet, or are you just a steady grappler?
Nope. I train in mixed martial arts. I don't train steady jiu-jitsu, or I don't hold a belt. I don't train with a gi on. It's jiu-jitsu with punches. You know, MMA is just, I don't know. Jiu-jitsu is very, very good weapon. I know a lot of jiu-jitsu, but I don't hold a belt. Everything I've been trained for the last few years has all been strictly MMA with punches involved. You know, it's transition, but also punches.
And do you see that being the evolution in the end of the sport in itself? Because, I mean, it all started, obviously, back in the day when it started with just it was jiu-jitsu versus a wrestler or versus a boxer. It was always that, but now we're seeing more and more of these gyms that are opening up strictly MMA, not basing themselves on a single art form, just all of it all together. Do you see that being the evolution of the sport in the long run?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely a must. I mean, guys can come in there with a black belt in jiu-jitsu and not have any MMA training and, you know, not do very good, but you have to have those strikes incorporated in there. And so I guess the answer would be absolutely.
Well, Kevin, we'd like to thank you again for coming here on the program. Now, Kevin, are you on Twitter? I know you're on Facebook, but are you on Twitter so people can follow you, catch up with you?
Yeah, I'm going to start one here real soon. I've been told, that's been suggested to me. I haven't really. I've been all over that Facebook. I just got used to that. You know, I'm a little behind when it comes to technology, but I plan on starting one.
All right, Kevin. Well, you let us know, but you can find him on Facebook. So Kevin asked me to look him up. He's on Facebook and catch up exactly what he's doing and his training and so forth. And we wish you good luck on your fight next Friday, Kev.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on. I just want to give a big shout-out to my family and dealing with my bull stuff, you know, getting ready for this fight. I've been kind of ornery. Next week, it'll all pay off. And Twin Cities, Minneapolis, Minnesota, baby. Look for us in Louisiana next week.
There you go. Kevin the Concrete Aslam versus Ron Sparks next Friday on Bellator. You can catch that live on television on MTV2. Good luck, Kevin.
Hell yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good night. Thank you.
You too. Peace.
Wow, great stuff there from Big Kev. We have Big Kevin Nash. Remember that? Cool guy there, Kevin. Was getting ready for Ron Sparks. It's always good to talk to the heavyweights, you know, because you're so used to people and the welterweights, you know, the lightweights, the middle, the light heavyweights. But when you talk to the heavy guys, they got to carry on that weight, and they got to know how to use it well. It's not like they just have the extra fat for the heck of it. You know, they got to know how to use it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it also depends the physical standpoint of the heavyweight. Because, I mean, if you're a heavyweight like Junior Dos Santos, that guy doesn't look like he has an inch of fat on him.
No.
But you look at people like Roy Nelson, and that's a different story.
Yeah. Now, there were talks that he was going to move down on weight class, but he's still hesitant.
Well, he did a petition on his Twitter account and saying that if he I think it was about a certain amount of followers, if he reached, he would drop down to 205. But Dana White stopped him before he even got started and said, "No, you're not moving anywhere, buddy."
And
so,
Yeah, because I know that he was talking about it, and he said, "Oh, I'm gonna stop, you know, eating McDonald's and all of that stuff." I mean, he did lose some weight though.
Yes, yes, he did. He did put himself in better shape. I mean, the guy, obviously, his last match didn't go his way, but I mean, he's looking a lot better. You can tell he's definitely dedicating himself more to being physically fit, which is great, because I think of Roy Nelson in great shape would be a definite danger in the heavyweight division.
Absolutely. And, you know, but one thing that could be deceiving, and if you remember Frank Mir, when he looked in phenomenal shape, I think it was when he fought Shane Carwin. Remember when he fought Shane Carwin? Was it Shane Carwin or Nogueira? I can't remember right now. When he got knocked out real quickly.
Well, that had to be Shane Carwin because he beat Nogueira and broke the man's arm.
Man, Frank looked phenomenal. That's probably the best I've ever seen that guy in my life.
Yeah.
And that's
that he had for the Brock Lesnar fight, he had gone up in weight because he wanted to match the body mass of a Lesnar. So he had went up to the 265 when he used to fight at what Kevin used to fight. Well, fight that now, which is around 250, 255. He was always a lighter heavyweight. But being that he went up in weight against Brock Lesnar, you can tell the effects of the increase in weight. And in the Shane Carwin fight, you can tell he tried to, you know, put himself physically fit with that extra mass. But, I mean, once that Shane Carwin hammer fist touches your chin, you know, say most don't get up from that.
You're pretty much out after that one. Let's go to a quick commercial, and we'll be right back here with more of the Roman Show. And call in, guys, 714-868-0222. That's 714-868-0222. And also you can tweet us at RomanDH, hashtag Roman Show. And, heck, tweet us right now. Anything you'd like to say about Kevin's interview, and we'll send you out a free t-shirt from AllOutMMAGear.com. We'll be right back after this brief commercial.
Visit El Octagono for all the latest in MMA, news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octagono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctagono.com.
AllOutMMAGear.com is your best source for MMA gear and apparel. Use code RomanShow and receive 15% off your next purchase. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AllOutMMAGear and on Facebook.com/AllOutMMA for the latest on merchandise and special offers. AllOutMMAGear.com, from Miami to the world.
I see your dirty face, hide behind your collar. What is done in vain? Truth is hard to swallow, so you pray to God. Justify the way you live a lie, live a lie, live a lie.
All right, and we're back here with more action of the Roman Show, talking some mixed martial arts tonight. As we just had Bellator fighter Kevin Asplund, who said that he was excited when he got that phone call from Bellator. We'll give him an opportunity to fight next Friday against Ron Sparks, which will be airing live on MTV2. Let's take this quick phone call here, Randall, before we move forward. Caller, you're on the air in the Roman Show.
Oh, this is Aaron from Countermove.
Oh, hey, Aaron.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
All right. Two minutes earlier, but how's it going, Aaron?
Good. Sorry, I mean to call so early.
No, it's all right, Aaron. Aaron, quickly, tell us what's going on with Countermove.com. We got a big fight this Tuesday.
We've actually done something sort of unique. We're actually combining, for some of the games, we're combining this Tuesday's event with the Strikeforce event next Saturday, or the following Saturday. So there are games you can play. You can choose fighters from Strikeforce or fighters from UFC on Fuel 3, or mix and match, however you like it. So we actually have some games on that are going to have both those events. We also have games that are just UFC on Fuel.
That is just absolutely great. Now, who won the most money? What was the purse this past Saturday?
Well, we actually had a $2,500 tournament. It was a $10 entry. And a person going by the name of Sticks and Stones won the top prize of $500.
Wow, nice. Randall, you got to get on this. Countermove.com. That's Countermove with a K to get some free stuff out there. So, again, you can start playing for this upcoming fight and then with the combination of the Strike Force. Aaron, if you could let the folks know how this thing works and get some money in it for the fights.
If you love fights, it's a great site to get on, and it's a great way to make money if you know your fights. It's very easy. It's a very simple game. You basically have a salary cap of $25,000 of fake money, and you buy five fighters, and then you get points based on how those fighters do. And if you are in a game that's for money, you win. If you do better than anybody else, you get to keep the money. So it's as simple as that. And if you're not sure, we always have free games on the site. So you can always come on and try it out and test it out for free and see what you think.
That is awesome. And not too long ago, during that Rashad and Jones pay-per-view, we had the Roman Show tourney, and that was a lot of fun. I know that we had some person who won. So hopefully we'll have that soon again, Aaron.
If you want to do another one, just let me know. We'll put up another tournament for you guys.
Awesome, awesome. So we'll definitely be playing out there. Maybe we can make some cash. Our good friend Guillermo is in Hawaii now, so maybe I'll send him some money since he might be with all that vacation. Aaron, thank you so very much. Again, guys, visit countermove.com. That's countermove with a K to win some free stuff and enjoy some good gaming. Aaron, thanks so much. We'll catch you next Wednesday.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Bye.
Yeah, Randall, you got to get on countermove.com. It's actually being supported by Randy Couture, and you can check that out. And you can
I'm looking at the page right now. I mean, right off the back, it tells you how easy it is. You pick a game, draft your team of fighters, deposit entry fees, score points, and win cash. Can't get any better than that.
It's pretty cool stuff if you ask me, man. I'm telling you, I'm going to go play just a little bit to get my predictions going and win some cash for that fight coming up Tuesday and then on Saturday, because I'm excited for that. But with that said, Randall, let's switch some topics here. Yeah, I mentioned Randy Couture. He's already going to be promoting that Expandables 2 movie, which is going to hit later on this summer, I believe in August. Randy Couture now has become an actor. Now, is it safe to say that he has had the most success as an actor and being an MMA fighter?
Well, success in and the fact that he's being a part of this this series of movies, yeah. I mean, in that sense, yeah, I would say yes. But and from the last movie to this one, I no offense to the legend in the Hall of Famer, but I hope his acting picked up just a bit because there is still some of that that rookie acting going on there. So I mean, but you know, you can't take anything away from the man. The man knows what he's doing when it comes down to the action part. So that's where it makes it even more impressive. And what makes this next movie even better is that he's doing it alongside Chuck Norris and
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Chuck Norris and Jean-Claude Van Damme, of course. Great, great partners to add on to that movie. And, you know, I want to see what happens with Chuck Norris in that movie, because that's the man right there.
You know, I heard an interview earlier today of Jean-Claude Van Damme on the Howard Stern Show. And he was talking about how he's going to make an appearance on the movie and so forth. And he was actually okaying a fight against Chuck Zito. So, but to think of Jean-Claude Van Damme, do you think he would have been a great MMA fighter?
Well, I mean, and that's not to say that he didn't have any interest. But plenty of times he teased the world with the possibility of him getting into an MMA ring, not into a cage, but into an MMA ring and put his skills to the test. But the man is very talented, and it's almost like what we could have gotten from a Bruce Lee as well, you know, a man who showed so many skills on the big screen and so many times in front of people, but we never got to envision to see that those skills put to the test in a physical effort. So, I mean, I think he would have been impressive. I mean, obviously, he can't do all those crazy cartwheel double kicks and those splits on kitchen sinks, but he can definitely pull off some crazy stuff, and it would have been a fun thing to see him in a fight at some point earlier, of course. I don't think at this point it's a smart thing to do.
No, he's 51. And, you know, it was Severin who was talking the other day, that he'd like to see a Masters division. So you would get folks 45 and above fighting each other.
That would be interesting.
You know, it would. I think it would. And, you know, I think maybe in the next 5 or 10 years we can get away with it as technology and medicine evolutionizes.
And we get more veterans.
Yeah, when you get more veterans, I think it'd be a bright idea what Severin said.
Yeah, I definitely think, and who knows, maybe by that time, you know, obviously he's going to retire after this year, like he said here on the show. So maybe he might be the liaison to go ahead and start that movement and create his own company for that. You never know. I mean, he might be the man in charge of leading a promotion that deals with veteran fighters.
Yeah. I've heard that Chuck Liddell, for example, wants to come back. He says he'll come back and there was a title shot on the line.
Okay, now that was just ridiculous for me to hear. I mean, I love Chuck. He's a great guy. He's a great fighter. He's a legend. But there's no way at this point that I think that Chuck can beat any champion. I mean, it's sad to say, but we've all seen what happened to him. You've seen how many times a guy's chin has been rocked. I don't think that guy can take the softest punch anymore inside of the cage.
His run is done. You know, once you reach a certain age, I mean, see Randy Couture, for example, a guy who's 46 when he retired, he knew when to hang up his boots. When he got that kick, that was it for him.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, Randy Couture's chin didn't get tested as much as Liddell's. I mean, Randy Couture had such great defense that he avoided so much damage, and allowing him to last a lot longer, you know, and that's something that Chuck could not do because Chuck was such a crazy wild fighter that it opened himself up for a lot of counterattacks. And in every match, like the Tito fights and every one of those fights, he received so much damage to that chin that, I mean, he didn't get knocked out, but he received so much damage that eventually it's going to catch up on you.
That's right. All right, Randall. Well, we got a few minutes to go here. Let's talk about what's going to happen this coming week with first and foremost with the UFC on Fuel card, which is going to be headlined by Dustin Poirier versus Chan Chong Jung, the Korean zombie, and also George Lopez versus Amir Sadallah, Donald Cerrone versus Jeremy Stephens, Jeff Hogland versus Ivis Jabun, and so much more. I'm excited to watch Donald Cerrone. I think this is going to be a great fight. I don't know about which one you would think that's a good one, it's a fun one.
Yeah, man. I mean, this whole card is incredibly stacked. I mean, and it's literally 5 hours of fights, which is awesome, and it's all free. You know, we get so many. We get, what is it, six fights on Facebook.
Yep.
And then we get a next six more on free TV. You know, you really can't beat that too much, and especially when you got these lighter guys, they're gonna give you exciting fights. And the whole entire card, I think you only have two middleweight fights. Other than that, everything are the lighter weights. I mean, you have featherweights and welterweights. It's incredible.
Man, it is going to be fun, and that's going to be on Fuel TV, so you don't want to miss that this Tuesday, May 15th. And then just a few days after, on May 18th, you got the Bellator card with Pacquiao versus Spang, and also, I was reading the one for May 18th card. I apologize. Sandor versus Strauss. That's going to be part of the featherweight tourney final. In fact, we had Strauss not too long ago here. Also, Seth Petruzzelli, who we had about 2 weeks ago, he'll be fighting against Carmelo Morero on that program, and that's this Friday coming up on Bellator's, and they're going to be airing on MTV2. So that's going to be a fun card as well. Seth Petruzzelli coming back. You know, we had him here in the program. He said that he had been some time taking off some ring rust, but he's back. He said he's ready for action.
Well, that's good, man. I mean, Seth Petruzzelli, I mean, obviously known from the fame of knocking out Kimbo Slice, and which pretty much ended up being the complete fall of Elite XC. But, you know, it was a great run for him, and it's great to see him back, and hopefully we'll see a great match.
Yeah, and he even said himself, you know, hopefully one day I can kind of erase that and do something else that people will remember me for.
Yeah, definitely.
Randall,
hey, you're already just known for that one little moment that happened, and that happened a while ago already.
It did. We're going to talk quickly about the ratings, what's going on with the UFC and on Fox, but all the way from Hawaii, our good friend Guillermo, where are you right now?
Yep.
Kiki?
Yeah, I'm in Maui right now, man.
Oh, you're in Maui.
I couldn't call in earlier, man. I was on a bus, couldn't talk. But what did I miss?
You missed a lot, but heck, you're enjoying it, so I envy you right now. But we just had Kevin Asplund over there. Hey, Guillermo, I know you're on vacation right now, but have you seen anything related to mixed martial arts over there? I know they had a big promotion where Anderson Silva competed there.
Yeah, I mean, that was years ago. He used to fight in Rumble on the Rock, and that's where they staged the big middleweight tournament that they had with Frank Trigg in it, Carlos Condit, Anderson Silva, Yushin Okami, a whole bunch of big names in there. And that's where Anderson got disqualified for kicking Yushin Okami in the face when he was down on the ground. But, yeah, that promotion went out of business a while ago. One of the big protagonists of MMA here in Hawaii was KJ Nunes' dad. He was a legendary fighter himself, not in MMA, but in other combat sports. So, yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of MMA going on in terms of, like, BJ Penn's team being down here, you know, with guys like Kendall Grove and a few others. But there isn't really a prominent MMA promotion here that's still around.
Gotcha. Now, Guillermo, we've been talking a little bit of everything here, and I want to get your opinion on the UFC and Fox this past Saturday. What were your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, I suspected that the ratings might suffer a bit due to all the competition that they had going on. But, you know, at the end of the day, they had a lot of exciting fighters going up against it, and so they provided some quality fights. I thought that the main event would be a little bit more competitive than it was, but unfortunately for Jim Miller, Nate Diaz is the real deal. He's really turned it around since coming back from welterweight. So, you know, a lot of big news in terms of, like, number one contenders and stuff coming out of this show.
No doubt about that. And Guillermo, coming up on this Tuesday, we're going to have UFC on Fuel. What are your thoughts on the main event? And Randall just stated the nice card is for free. What are your thoughts on it? What do you think is going to be the fight of the night?
I'm really looking forward to it. You know, we haven't had one of these midweek shows very often lately, but I'm curious to see how the ratings will do compared to maybe some of the, like, the preliminary cards that have been on, like, Fuel and FX, because those are on weekends and this is on a weekday. So will it help out that people are just sitting at home after work or because it's a weekday, will they be watching some other shows? How will the ratings do? So I'm really curious to see it in that regard. I mean, the fights should be good. You know, these Fuel TV shows, they tend to show some up-and-coming fighters and try to develop some mid-card talent. So hopefully we see a lot of good action and not a lot of boring decisions.
Well, you mentioned Guillermo, and I was talking about Randall about this, where we're about to talk to it, about the issue of ratings. This past UFC and Fox was the least most watched MMA show on network television. It was the first one ever. That didn't do too well at all. And they have been struggling with The Ultimate Fighter on FX. And they're saying that, you know, Fuel TV, well, not everyone has it. There was an article posted on MMA Underground stating that they should do reverse. They should air more stuff on Fox and followed by FX and then worry about Fuel instead of doing it the opposite way. I'm going to first start with you, Randall. What are your thoughts about the whole ratings and the UFC on coming up with Fox?
Well, I mean, at the moment, you know, they're still trying to gain that audience. You know, it's still being introduced. It's still a freshman into the Fox network. So, you know, they, little by little, the ratings should pick up. And, I mean, hopefully it should pick up. And it won't seem like this was a bad deal for Fox, because that's the last thing that I'm sure they want to experience is to feel like maybe this was a fail for Fox. I don't think in the end it's going to be that. They just got to tweak little things here and there, and eventually they can get this back into full motion.
How about you, Guillermo?
Well, you know, I can kind of see why they're making Fuel TV a priority, because that channel is the lowest rated cable channel in all of cable television. And the UFC, in many ways, has been very successful. Normally they would have 15,000 people a night watching that channel. And whenever the UFC has something on there, it's usually around 100 to 150,000. So that's quite a gain from what they normally get. Plus they're getting the key 18 to 35-year-old demographic for males that they've been seeking, that advertisers like to pay for. So I could see why Fox would need it. In terms of, like, percentage gain, Fuel TV is, like, 1,000% up. But in terms of Fox, I guess they have not prioritized it as much, because Fox already has a high-rated programming such as NFL football, baseball, among other things. So they're not as needy. And even if the UFC did fantastic on Fox, it wouldn't be a 1,000% gain. It maybe be 10% gain or something like that. So I think Fox is trying to get some of their other cable channels up in ratings so that they can get more providers to take on that channel, and that'll make them money in the long run.
Right. No, yeah, very interesting, and I think it's going to take some time to, they, like you said, Randall, tweak a couple of things, and maybe like these UFC on Fuel TV shows will definitely get some of these kids or these young fighters some exposure. So eventually market them and then eventually get them into UFC on Fox, where all these eyeballs are watching. One thing that they caught my attention was how they quickly gave Lombard the main event with Brian Stann at the UFC, the next UFC on Fox.
It's definitely a big step for Hector, and it's going to get a lot of Latin eyes on there, at least, especially from here in Miami. You know, a guy is following is incredible. And aside from that, I mean, he does have his share following nationally, especially in Australia. And, I mean, the guy's world-renowned, so it's going to definitely bring a mass audience to the eyes of Fox.
Yeah, in fact, they even put your boy, Lyoto Machida, as a co-main event, Guillermo, but they put Lombard as the main event.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, the Lombard fight could determine the next number one contender for the middleweight title, whereas Lyoto's coming off a loss, and Bader's coming off the biggest win of his career, but against a really washed-up Rampage Jackson. I still think Bader's got a lot to prove after losing to John Jones and Tito Ortiz. I don't think he can beat Lyoto, but if he does, that would definitely put him back up in the contention. But at least during the co-main event, that's going to give him great exposure to a big audience, and should be a great show.
That's right. Yeah. All right, gentlemen, well, that pretty much wraps it up for tonight. I'm going to go with you, Guillermo, all the way from Hawaii. Any final thoughts? What can we expect this coming week from MMA?
Well, unfortunately, I'm probably not going to get to see it as I'm flying over to Australia tomorrow. But, you know, I'm really looking forward to hopefully covering the CFC show over in Australia and being able to report on that for you guys. So we'll see about that.
Cool. Randall?
And I'm just excited to see these fights on May 15th. Definitely going to be seeing these lightweights giving us some exciting action. And if people never seen MMA, I mean, when you see these lightweights, they definitely excite you and make you be on the edge of your seat. They make you stand on your feet. They make you want to cheer, make you want to go crazy. It's that exciting. So don't miss that match, and I can't wait.
Yeah, man, it's going to be absolutely amazing. All right, guys, with that being said, we wish you a good night. Follow us on Twitter at RomanDH. If you missed the show, you want to catch that Kevin Asplund interview, head on over to RodolphoRoman.com. You can check it out there. It'll be posted in just a few minutes. And make sure you check in with us next Wednesday, as we're going to have Paul Bradley on the program, and hopefully we'll get Jessica here as well. And on Tuesday, we're going to talk some pro wrestling. By the way, Randall, I'd just like to say that you and I, we come out in the WrestleMania 28 Blu-ray. So, pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's, that's definitely an awesome thing. I mean, gives us at least a little bit of extra exposure there, being able to... We were there for everything, you know? I mean, WWE was incredible with us, and they definitely helped us out. And to include us in that DVD Blu-ray is beyond awesome.
That is super duper cool. In fact, even Colt Cabana noticed us because of the shirt. So definitely.
Yes, he told us that in person.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, good night. And again, we'll see you next week. Enjoy the rest of the week and enjoy the fights. Good night, guys.